And I think we are live.
Yes.
You're going to do our jingle.
Just the two of us.
There you go.
We can make it if we try. Just the two of us.
Voila. Yeah, good. Great.
Morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Pod peeling potato podcasts. Number 8. Do you realize we've been doing this for 2 months now?
Wow. No, I haven't.
We have hit the 2 month milestone.
Wow.
Celebrate. Yay!
Yay.
We're still talking with each other.
Yes.
So what was our jingle again?
Just the two of us. And we can change it to I want to be a somebody to be.
I love that. So you've given me a segue because before we went on air and we were talking about the kind of WhatsApp messages
Yes.
that flowed between your neck of the world and my neck of the world.
Yes.
And it's all very strange because we were talking about food labels, we were talking about
Hospitals,
hospitals, we were talking about
weddings.
weddings and wedding attires, and then you sent me a picture of somebody that you used to work with or a group of people that you used to work with.
Yes.
It sort of triggered an idea that was harboring that for the next couple of weeks we're going to sort of, because Breda is so quiet, you know, everyone's gone
Yes.
away or hasn't arrived yet or doesn't know about us, or anyway, there's
Celebrating summer
celebrating summer,
while
having
I'm freezing.
Janita, this will change in a couple of weeks.
Yes, I know. I know. I realize that.
And then you can gloat down there while we're sort of putting on the winter woolies, etc. Yeah, well, it's about 40 degrees. Anyway, so while things are quietening down here, or have not quite reached the end of their sell-by date, we're going to do a little bit of in-depth discussing of weird and wonderful topics
Yes.
that sort of affect our daily lives. And the challenge that I have in all of this is that I am insanely interested in some of the stuff that you send me,
Yes.
but probably nobody else is. And so I've got to try. And I've got to somehow try and make it relevant. You know, why should I in Timbuk 59 be interested in food labels in South Africa and the European Union?
Yes.
And the
And
interest.
why am I interested in food labels in France? I'm
Yes,
comparing prices.
comparing prices. Yes. You showed me a loaf of bread picture yesterday,
Yes, the low GI bread.
the low GI bread. And then I went to, we have a lot of supermarkets. For a town of about 10,000 people, we actually have a huge array of supermarkets.
Okay.
And we go to one which is a German brand. I just remembered the last second. I said, oh, I've got to do this for Janita. So I scooted back from the cashiers and went to the bread section and took a picture of the loaf that sort of resembled the closest to the what you had sent me.
Yes.
And it costs €1.63, which is about what, 32, 33 rand,
Yes.
if my math is correct. How does that compare with the loaf of bread that you, the
I think
price?
it was 28 or 26.
Okay,
So not too far off.
people are probably scratching their heads and saying, why are they talking about the price of bread? I mean, why is this
Because
relevant?
it's interesting.
And why is.
I was shocked with the chickpeas. I looked at the canned chickpeas. So, oh, $30, that's not too much.
Yeah, and then I come back and say, well, so expensive, 12, we pay the equivalent of about 12 rand.
Yes.
And then you counter back and say, you say, well, I saw it in a corner shop. It might be
Yes.
cheaper in a supermarket.
Yes.
And this is exactly the point that I'm trying to get at. We take our own lives for granted because it's
Yes.
normal. And maybe, why should I worry about the price of chickpeas in one country when there's nothing I can do about it?
Yes.
And to a certain degree, that is correct. But I think one of the most important things is to raise awareness that in other countries, things are done differently.
Yes.
And maybe what other countries do is better than what we do in our own environment, or are led to believe are better, because there's just
Yes.
so much information. I don't want to, put an adverb or an adjective to that word, but
Yes.
there is so much information floating around. And when I saw the, it's a really small, trivial issue. But when I looked at that bread label on that loaf of bread, that I
Yes.
was gobsmacked by the amount of detail. And what triggered this discussion off is that you have a not a serious, but you have a slight health issue, where you have to
Yes.
sort of focus a little bit on what you eat. I had a heart attack 10 years ago. You need to focus on what you eat.
Yes.
And are we as consumers, as citizens, being given the right information? And
Yes.
why, if we look on the other side of the planet, we see, well, that's what they do. Well, why can't we do that? Yeah.
Yes.
And that's where I'm coming from in all of this. But I'm fighting an uphill battle. Anyway.
No, I was just thinking about the price for fresh fruits and vegetables. That would be interesting to compare them.
Yeah, because now I'm getting back to the train of thought that I actually had. You
Yes.
just told me, I hope this background noise isn't coming, because it's got a huge combine harvester just driving past, but it's been beginning to harvest some crops here. I was yeah, so what would I say, 1 euro 6 3, so about 33, 34 rand for a loaf of bread. And you
Yes.
pay 28. There is actually not much price difference in that. Yeah.
Yes.
But when you look at the income, and if you compare the price itself, it doesn't mean anything. But if you
Yes.
compare how much percent it takes of your disposable income,
Yes.
that's when it gets interesting.
Yes.
Because disposable incomes differ. So 28 rand in your country and 33 rand in here in France doesn't mean anything. But when you sort of figure out how much can I buy and how much budget do I have, and I need to,
Yes.
and I still need to eat in a healthy fashion, et cetera,
Yes.
then that's when I start asking questions. And I know I'm probably the only one in 8 billion people who does this, but sorry, that's me. Yeah. Okay. I'll shut up now. Anyway, so.
Can't. You are supposed to ask me some questions.
Yes,
You want to
yes.
know more about
Yes,
me?
I. Oh, story of my life. Yes. Well, actually, I want to focus on one particular aspect of you,
Yes.
probably the most important. Well, I don't know if that's the, well, for the time that we are here today, it is the most important.
Okay.
And so a couple of months ago, we can actually start talking in terms of months now. It
Oh, a
was
long time ago, like I said last time.
exactly. It's only been 3.5 months. Anyway. So a couple of months ago, you posted in the breeder community some pictures of you cycling,
Yes.
and
Drinking a beer afterwards, the coldest
well,
one I could find.
the coldest one you could find, well deserved. It was a 100 miler or 100 kilometer
Yes,
race.
100 miler, that equals to
Okay,
about
so
160
160
kilometers.
kilometers. Yeah,
Yes.
in 1 day.
Yes. Believe me, I don't know why I did it, but I was very happy that I did.
Well, we will come to that, and
Yes.
I'm sure you know why you did it.
It was fun.
I remember that.
Maybe not on that day, but
Yeah, but hindsight, yeah. So I'm going to
yes.
shrink you, and I'm going to get rid of all these other horrible things here. And I'm going to open the question on Janita and cycling, because I'm going to focus on the mindset
Okay.
that it takes to do this.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that is, and if you can inspire people,
Yes.
then you know.
Maybe I can inspire myself.
Well, it starts with that. Anyway,
Yes.
so we're going to overrun, because I'm sure we
That's
will get
okay.
to talking. So listener, you have been warned. This is an extended version because I am still trying to get my act together. Anyway, so we're going to talk about you and cycling mindset, the winning mentality, etc., and then we go from there. So the first thing I'd like to know from you is, you wrote something that cycling, although it is actually a team sport, is also a very it's a solo sport because
Yes.
it's you and your bike, yeah, and
Yes.
not much else, yeah.
And your head, your mind.
Your price, and this is, and this is the sort of goes in the right direction. So when you think back to your first few solo rides, what was the internal dialogue that you had that kept you going
Okay.
when everybody else around you doubted your choice? They're thinking, you know, really? You want to do this? Why? So what did you tell yourself? No, I want to do this. And what was the internal dialogue?
Okay, so I'm going to go back a couple of steps where it all started.
Okay.
So my father had a mountain bike and he used to train every weekend. He didn't have time during the week because he had to go to work very early. He came back when it was already dark, so he would train only on weekends. We have a name for those people. We call them weekend warriors.
Okay.
And
Warriors, WOWR or WARR?
I don't know, just warriors. So then I think it's WAO.
Okay.
Yes. So then he did a couple of races, and there was one in particular that I remember very, very well. We would wake up early on a Saturday morning. He would get his things ready the night before, and the next morning we would drive to wherever the race was and we would wait for him. So me, my mom, and my sister, we were quite small. I don't remember all of the races, but this one I remembered because it was around the Hartbeespoort Dam. That's about 2 hours drive from here. But my father also booked a cottage for this weekend. So we stayed there in a cottage. We went early the Saturday morning straight to the race. He did the race. My sister fell. She cracked her head open. She had to go to hospital for stitches.
Ooh.
I think that's why we all kind of remember that specific time. And my aunt and my uncle lives in that same area. My grandparents aren't too far away. They're about an hour's drive away from there. When they heard we were there and my sister fell, she's at hospital, they all came to the hospital to say hi, and we had a small family reunion in the hospital. And then after that, we went back to the cottage. So I remember one of the ladies were busy baking pancakes, and she took the towel that she used while baking pancakes and she stuck it against my sister's head. So at the hospital, they were still removing bits of pancakes from her head.
Well, we laugh about it now, but I mean, it must have been
Yes.
horrific.
I think she got two stitches.
Okay.
two or three stitches. So not very big, but it didn't stop bleeding, so she had to get stitches. Yeah, so I think that's why we remember it. And at that time, there was no ambulance to help her because there was a very bad crash inside of the tunnel. So the tunnel goes through the mountain and then over the lake. And I don't know what happened, but one of the riders fell and a couple of others crashed over him, and it was really bad. So all the ambulances went there to get the people who got hurt. And my sister got hurt at the starting point.
In a separate incident, and there was no one there
Yes.
to look after her. Oh dear.
Yes. So we had to wait for my dad to come back so that we could go. He wanted to take a shower first before we go to the hospital. And from where we were to the hut, not the hut, the place we stayed, maybe about 15 minutes drive. And then from there to the hospital was another 15 minutes drive. So he quickly took a shower. We kept my sister's head closed with a pancake towel. Then we went to the hospital. But anyways, so that day I kind of thought that this was cool. I wish I could do it. I was maybe 7 or 8 years old, I don't know. But then my father also bought my sister and myself a bike, and we started in the afternoons, like kids do. We would ride our bikes in the street and in the yard and so on. And then high school came, it kind of went forgotten. We were busy playing other sports and doing other things, studying as well. And then after school,
Just a little bit of studying after, you know.
just a little bit of studying. And then after school, I was about 19, no, 20, 21, around there. I got another bicycle, but a very old bicycle. But it worked. It was heavy.
Okay.
I still have a picture of it. It was a silver back. It was a pearl white. It had very old brakes on it. The tires were almost done for. It needed some new tubes on the inside, but I did have a friend at the time. No, that was a bit further away. Okay, so this bicycle, we lived on the farm at that time. And then I went riding with an older man. He was about 52, 53, 54, around there at the time. So every morning we would meet halfway from my house to his house. And then we would do like a 7 kilometers or 8 kilometers ride. He did it for his health. He also recently had a heart attack, but he's fine. He did it for his health. I did it for some exercise, and it was actually nice. So some days, if there was a little bit of clouds, he would say, "We're not going out today." So I said, "No, that's cool." So it wasn't very serious. It was more casual, but we tried to go every day. And then we moved away. My parents sold the farm. We moved away. And I had another friend who was a bit more serious into cycling, and he took me to like a mountain biking
Meetup.
park. A park.
Okay, park. Okay.
Yes, it's a park. The park is still there. You can still go there.
Okay.
It's about 30 minutes drive away from here. And you pay a small fee, like 20 rand or 25 rand, and you can go riding wherever you like. And it's a beautiful place, really, really nice. Some parts I hate though, because it feels like you're just going in circles
Okay.
in the same area. But then other parts, if you go past the water, through the trees, up the mountain, down again, that's very, very nice. So I remember the first time he took me there. So I said to him, "Listen, I'm used to like 7 kilometers or 8 kilometers every day. How far is this route?" And he said, "Oh, well, like 15 kilos." I'm like, "What? 15?" So, okay, let's try this. I was so scared the first time. And I just thought to myself, how am I going to get through this? But mostly because I was used to flat places. Yeah,
Terrain.
flat terrain. And then this place had uphills and downhills and all kinds of twists and turns and bridges that you had to go over and things you had to go under. And then you have to miss the trees with yourself and your bike because you will be a tree hugger at the
And you had
So,
visions of your sister's injury coming through then, I suppose, yeah.
actually, no, I was more afraid of just falling. Getting hurt. So we also had an inside joke. If you see the first tree that you see, you stop your bike, get off the bike, give the tree a hug, get back on your bike, and then carry on. Otherwise, you will hit one somewhere.
Okay.
Yes. Imagine that.
Explains a lot.
Yes. So, this first ride was, I was nervous, I was scared. But it was fun. It was nice. I enjoyed it. And I told myself, I will come here again. But this friend of mine was very fit. So he would go ahead. If there's something that I need to watch out for, he would stop and then he would just wave. So I know, be careful there.
Okay.
And then sometimes he would stick with me for some time and then he would go ahead again and then he'll wait for me if there's anything I need to worry about. And there was one part, I still remember it today. I absolutely hated it. It's an uphill, but it has loose rocks. The grass is very long on the sides. So you have the small path with this loose rocks and you have to go up. I didn't even make it halfway. So I had to stop before I fell. It felt like I was going backwards. I had to get off and push my bike to the top, and that was even worse.
Wow.
Yes. So I was fit, but I wasn't that fit to make it all the way up. And from there it was downhill again, which was nice, but my legs were burning. And then there's a split, so there's a hard, the last part of it, you can either head back to where the parking is, or you can do the last twist and turns in the field, which I hate. And he said, let's do this. Like, oh, I just want to go back. So we did the twist and turns and finished. And afterwards, we had a milkshake at the coffee shop, which was very, very nice. And then I decided it wasn't too bad. I'll come here again. The next day, my body was so stiff, I couldn't walk. Everything hurt. My arms, my legs, my knees, everything. I said, okay, well, I have another week. Maybe next weekend we can head there again.
Okay.
Yes. So I took some time off. And then the next weekend we went there again and it was a little bit better and easier. And then we started to go more often. And I also started with more longer rides. So instead of just 7 or 8 kilometers, maybe 10 or 15 or 20 kilometers. And then I promised myself, I'm going to buy a new bike. And they are expensive.
Oh yes, oh yes.
Yes.
I
So
recommend so. Yeah.
I saved up some money. So I also like, because this was a very old bicycle, it was also very heavy. So it was a bit more difficult, especially in the mountain bike park to ride it and to go over things and to go down things. And that was a bit more difficult. And I think that's also why my body hurt so much the
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine.
Yes. So then I saved up some money, and then on my birthday, I think it was my 25th or my 26th birthday, I bought myself a new bicycle. And Then I told myself, I'm not going to do races. I'm just doing this for fun. Well, that all went up in smoke. So I started training more and went to the mountain bike more often. And I kept telling myself that I want to be more fit. I want to be strong. I want to be fast. So that was my goal. I wanted to be faster and more fit, and I wanted to push myself and see how far I could go. And then I entered for my first race. It was a 15-kilometer race called the Mahalis Monster. It
That's already
was a monster.
the name says it all, yeah.
Yes. So it was only 15 kilometers. They have three choices. So they have the 15 kilometers, they have the 40 kilometers, and then a 70 kilometers. And Mahalis is Mahalisberg. It's a mountain range. So I went to this race. My mom and dad was there as well. Was it just, no, it was just my mom. It was just me and my mom. And then after that, we went to my grandparents. I had some leave and we decided to make a vacation out of it. Yeah, so we arrived early the morning. I got ready. I was very nervous because I didn't know what to expect. It was my first race. I had no idea what was going to happen. And oh dear, it was hard. There were kids that were faster than I was. But my main goal was do not finish last. No matter what you do, you will not be the last person to cross that finish line. And that was my motivation. So the first part sucked. The twists and turns I hate. And it went through a nectarine plantation. So it was all these nectarine trees. You could smell the nectarines. It was amazing, but all these twists and turns all around this part. And then you got to like a river lake type of place, which was also nice. I stopped and took pictures there. So I could show everyone, oh, look at this nice place. And then I carried on. I pushed through. And then there was this very, very steep uphill again. And I decided, you can do this. So I started pedaling and pedaling and pedaling. I just kept my head down. Don't look in front of you. Just keep going. Just keep going. But it felt like I was going backwards all the So just keep going all the time until about halfway. And then there was a lot of people who kind of stopped halfway because your legs are burning, you are out of breath. It feels like you are going backwards. It doesn't matter how fit you are. There's like the professionals, they can push through to the top. But me as a beginner, there's no way. I can push as far as I can, but then at some point I'm going to stop. So I made it about halfway, and then when I looked up and I saw, oh, I still have another half to So I stopped, took my phone, I took pictures down where you can see how steep it was down with everyone pushing their bikes from the bottom. I took a picture up, just a few people up. There was more people down. And then I started pushing my bike. And I passed a couple of people, made it to the top, jumped on my bike, went over the hill, down, and when I turned, there was another uphill.
No.
I almost died. I said, okay, let's push. Let's see how far I can get here. And I made it to the top. So on the top, it was flat. It was like one big rock, but it was flat. Really, really flat. So I stopped there and took a picture because you could see like all around you. That was actually amazing. And That is why I enjoyed it so much, because you get all these beautiful things that you see, some experiences that my mom will never see that because it's not something that interests her. The same with my sister. So that is also what pushed me to do this more. For the beautiful things that you can see, the experiences. There's people you've never seen in your life who starts talking to you while you're pushing your bike uphill. They are complaining just as much as you to get to the top. So that was amazing. And then from there, it was downhill mostly, small uphill, made a turn, finish line.
And did you achieve your goal that you came through before the last?
Yes.
Well done.
Yes.
Well done.
Yes. So even though I stopped and took pictures and pushed my bike, there was a lot of people I left behind. So I came in somewhere around the middle.
Okay. But at the end of the day, and I think this is one of the takeaways, there's a lot of takeaways in that story, but I think one of them is, you didn't actually, you reversed the goal. You realistically assessed your ability.
Yes.
You said, well, no way am I going to win this, because I just do not have the training, the skill, the ability. I'm still where I am on this journey. So you actually set yourself a realistic goal by saying, well, I don't want to come first because I know I can't achieve that.
Yes.
But come hell and high water, I'm not going to come last.
Yes.
Yeah. And the other thing that people could take away from this is, once you have actually established your realistic goal, you can actually enjoy the ride, for want of a better word. Because in a race, you know, if you have the winning mindset, you focus on that. Yeah.
Yes.
Even though it may actually be unrealistic.
Yes.
You set yourself a different goal.
Yes.
And then you stopped and took pictures, which, you know, is I think you are the first person in my entire life who has told me, oh, I stopped and took pictures because, and here's the other thing, you experienced something.
Yes.
That is valuable to you. You wanted to share it with friends and family.
Yes.
And you knew full well that certain people, like your mother, will never experience this because of whatever reason. And there's actually nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. On top of all of this, though, is then this intense willpower to complete the course.
Yes. You know? It takes a lot of willpower.
this is the important word. Where did this willpower come from? Because, you know, if you look at it, you know, your father he did cycle races.
Yes.
You accompanied him, so you were already sort of in this world.
Yes.
There's this one race where your sister has this extremely bad accident, and jokes aside, but, you know, falling and cracking your skull is not a pleasant experience by any extent of the word. You meet somebody and that person motivates you.
Yes.
I think that's the important key, maybe. That you're not alone. You have people supporting you and motivating you and pushing you. But you need this willpower in yourself. Where does this? How would you explain to somebody where this willpower that was in you and got ignited and pushed you forward?
I think that it was something that I enjoyed. So I hate running. I only run when something is chasing me. Sorry to everyone else who enjoys running. I have nothing against it. I've done it, been there. I did cross country in school. I played field hockey.
Yeah.
I'm done running.
Okay.
I did my part. But for the cycling, it was actually just the experience, just to go someplace that you've never been before. You don't know what it looks like. You don't know what you are going to experience. And I didn't want to win because I obviously I knew what I was capable of, and winning wasn't that. So that's why I set the goal. I don't want to be last. I don't care where I end, where I fall into which category. I just don't want to finish last. And for me, it was more of like fun, having fun, being outside, because we work indoors all the time. And it was also about making the time to go outside and to relieve stress as well. It's great for stress relief, even though you stress when you see those uphills. But
it's positive stress. You mean it's negative? Positive. It's positive stress. Yeah.
Well, at that point, it's negative. You feel much more positive when you get to the top.
Precisely. But,
but while you go up there, there's some swearing, there's some negativity, there's some hate. You form this love hate relationship with your bicycle. No, but I think it was fun. It was something that I love doing. I love being outside and doing things outside. And I think that was just like what drove me to do this.
Okay. So you did this monster race. You ended up where you ended up. You treated yourself you treated yourself to a milkshake afterwards,
for this race. I got my medal, took my bike, found my mom. We bought a cool drink, and we decided that we're not going to buy something there to eat because we wanted to get on the road to get to my grandparents, because it was about 2 hours drive from there.
Okay.
So we got a cool drink and we got into the car, and on our way out, we stopped at a Wimpy for breakfast? Because these races start very, very early. So start times would be anything from 6 a.m., 7 a.m. So before it gets too hot, the race is almost done.
So if it's a 2 hour drive, you're getting up something like ridiculous 3 o'clock in the morning to be at the race venue for 6 o'clock.
Yes.
Kill yourself doing the race, and then reward yourself with breakfast. That takes a lot of dedication.
Yes, it does. Yes. But also, if you enter a race, you know that I paid this money to enter this race, and some races are quite expensive. So I paid this money. I want to do this race, and I'm not going to lose that money. I want something to show for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's also where the dedication comes from.
Yeah, because you invest time.
You invest time, you invest exercise, you invest money, and all of these things.
and you want a return on your investment. Okay.
Yes.
So how long, so from this race, I sort of want to build the bridge to this 100 miler. The 100 miler and your intense dislike for running. There used to be a community member here called Igor. He lived in southern Brazil, and then he and his then fiance, now wife, relocated to Los Angeles. Incredibly interesting character. And he did a 100 miler running race. Mm-mm. He actually ran for 100 miles. So
I would never. there's people who do that here as well. respect to all of them.
Yeah. Anyway, yes. You took the easy route and decided just more you need provoking you here.
I can sit down while I torture myself.
I can sit down and pedal. So what is your journey and lessons learned from the monster race to the 100 miler, assuming that there is some distance between some time distance between the two events?
I'm just going to add, the next year I did the 40 kilometer Mahalis
Okay.
Monster. So
Okay.
that's how much I grew from where I started, and a year later I did the 40. I also promised myself that I would go back to the seven for the 70, but that didn't happen because I did other things.
Okay.
I did other races.
You did other races. All right. Well,
Yes.
anyway, why do a 70 when there's 160 looming on the horizon? I mean,
Yes.
baby stuff, 70.
Heavy stuff.
Anyone can do 70 kilometers.
Yes. So from that first race, that was, I can't remember the exact date, but about 3 weeks later, I entered another race. No, not 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks or 5 weeks, a bit longer. And I trained more. I would get up in the morning, take my bicycle. My mom would drive behind me everywhere I wanted to go. So I
Wow.
could, yes. Yes. So
Wow.
my mom was my biggest supporter in all of it. So she would drive behind me because it was unsafe. Or it is unsafe to ride alone, especially if you do further away. Maybe a 10 kilometer, that's fine. But if you want to do like a 40 kilometer, that's a bit more dangerous. And then I would train every morning because this race that I entered for was 40 kilometers. It was flat. So usually when you enter a race, they show you like the elevation. So how much elevation there is in a race. And this one was flat. They still have this race. It's they have a summer fast one and a winter fast one. So this was called the winter fast one. And it was cold. But apart from that, I would wake up every morning. It's winter. I would go for my ride, get back home, take a shower, get ready, go to work. And my mom would be behind me all the time. So a friend sent me a message. She said, "Oh, listen, I see that you live here in Henlyon Klip. Where so we can meet up and we can go for a ride together?" So I'm like, "Wow, I didn't know you ride as well." So she said, "Yes, there's an app. It's called Strava." So she saw me on Strava and she realized that I'm exercising and we both ride bicycles. So I said, "Oh, well, why not?" So the race was the Sunday and we agreed to meet each other on the Saturday. And she said, "Oh, we are just going to go to this place, get a coffee, and then from there we'll head back." I said, "Okay, how many kilometers?" So she said, "About 15 or 20." I said, "Okay, cool. I'm game." Didn't end there. So I met up with her, took my phone, took my water. I was comfortably dressed, warm as well, because early mornings it was quite cold. So the idea was to go to this one coffee shop. It's called the Circus, Café de Circuit. We would go there, have a coffee, and then we will head back. And when we got to the coffee shop, all of us were still feeling strong and good, and we decided, okay, let's push it a little bit further. We'll go to the, so we have a petrol station or gas station. It's called the Blockhouse. So it's on both sides of the freeway, and they have very nice routes to get there. So we'll get a coffee and maybe a donut and then head back. And when we got there, we filled up our water bottles and we went further.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Then you had to get back at some point, yeah.
So there's another coffee shop. It's called the Art Farm. It has a big red barn, painted on it says Art Farm. And we went there. So by the time we got there, we were on 37 kilometers. I was a bit tired. I almost made it to 40. Now I knew that tomorrow I have to do a race of 40 kilometers, but now I know I can do it. Now I was sitting there contemplating, should I phone my mom to come and fetch me or should I push back? So we were four. It was me, this friend of mine, one of her friends, and then one other guy who works at a cycling shop. And they said, well, if you struggle along the way, we'll call someone to come and get you, but let's see how far you can go. I said, okay, I am tired, but after having coffee and eating something, I feel much better. So let's see. And they said, we'll take the shortest route back because we took quite a long route to get to this place. And then it was hot, like extremely hot. None of us had sunscreen. We stopped at, I think, three different places to refill water, water bottles. And yeah, so we made it all the way back. So we stopped at the blockhouse at the garage, filled up water bottles, went to the circus, the coffee shop, filled up water bottles, took a breath there. And from there to my house was another 10 kilometers, but I was dead. So now this was almost, well, we were on 60 kilometers. And then the guy riding with us, his name was Adrian, he said, let's get you home. So I'm like, oh, I can just phone my mom. She can just come and fetch me here. I said, no, we'll take it easy. Their easy wasn't easy. We pedaled like I've never pedaled in my life before. Kept my head down and just went. So this was all flat. All the way back was flat. No uphills, no downhills, just flat. And at one point, my friend took hold of my back and she pushed me. She pushed me until she couldn't. Then she swapped with Adrian. Adrian pushed me. Then the other girl, we call her Lulu. Lulu came and she pushed me. And then they rotated the whole time to push me home.
I am gobsmacked.
So the last 10 kilometers home, I think I pedaled for maybe 3 kilometers, and the rest of the time they pushed me. So for 7 kilometers, they rotated to push me to get me home. Yes. So that was a 70 kilometers for the day, and I was broken. To say the least, I was broken.
And you had a 40 kilometer the next day, yeah.
Yes. So I was tired, I was sunburned, I was hungry, everything hurt. My legs hurt, my feet hurt, my arms hurt. So I got home. My mom asked, are you okay? So I said, I'm going to sleep now. I'll see you later. So I put my bike away, I got in the shower, took a shower, went to bed, and I slept. I woke up around 4 or 5 in the afternoon. I went to eat something. And then my mom asked, are you still doing the race tomorrow? I said, yes, I paid for it. I entered for it. I have to. Yes. So Adrian and this other friend, Madeleine, her name is Madeleine, they said, oh, we'll see you tomorrow morning. We'll meet you at the race. We are not going to do the race, but we are going for another ride. So I thought, are these people crazy? Why? So I arrived there the next morning. I woke up early. Now, wait, let's backtrack a little bit. I got all my things ready, packed and water, energy drinks, energy bars, snacks, whatever I can put in my bags and my shirt. Got everything ready, made some oats, left it in the fridge for the next morning. Next morning, I woke up at 5 o'clock. The race started at 7. So it's only 30 minutes drive, but I didn't know exactly where to go. I went alone this time, packed my bike and all my things, got in the car, drove there. I took my oats while I was sitting there. When I found the place, I was eating my oats, drinking some coffee. I made coffee in a flask as well. And then I decided, okay, now it's time to get out of the car. So you go to like a checking point, you get your number, put the number on your bicycle, and
On the back of your
sometimes on your
shirt, on the
back,
back.
yes. Sometimes on your back, other times they put it on the front of your on your bicycle. And I went to the starting point, stopped the race. I had a great time. It was cold in the morning. It was very cold. But I did it. And then I met a group of people there. I think I told you about the docs. Yes. So I met them there and they said, well, you should come ride with us sometime. Here's our contact details. Come join us. I said, okay, cool. Not this week, though. Yeah. Maybe just give me some time. So they don't give medals. They give like a small, it looks like a trophy, but it's cut out of fiberglass. No, not fiberglass, Perspex.
Right.
Perspex. So I have a blue one and a white one.
Okay.
So the blue one was for the winter fast one, and then I have a white one for the summer fast one because I decided this I'm going to do again, and I'm going to improve on my time. And the day before, I'm not going to go for a 70-kilometer ride with friends. So that was about 6 months later. I did it again, and I was a lot faster. The first time I did it, I finished it in 2 hours and like 58 minutes, almost 3 hours. The next one, I did 2 hours, 15 minutes. So I pushed a lot harder. I was faster. I was improving. And from there, everything went downhill. I got a sponsorship for the 94.7 Cycling Challenge that is in Joburg. You ride through the streets of Joburg, some dangerous parts, some good parts, uphills, downhills.
Okay.
And that is 97 kilometers. You also go over the Kyalami racetrack where they race with cars. That was fun. I loved that part. Other parts are not so much. We rode over the Nelson Mandela Bridge.
Right. Yeah.
I sent you a picture of that some time ago.
Yes.
I also have a picture somewhere of me crossing the bridge on the 94.7 the race.
Right.
Just have to go into my archives to find it.
I'm sure you will.
Yes. So I got a full sponsorship through Cipla, the pharmaceutical company. Mm-hmm. They paid the entry fees. They gave me a cycling outfit to wear, like pants and a shirt. Mm-hmm. They also supplied some products
right.
that you can use. Not enhancements or things, just like vitamins and things to help you with. And then there was another lady who heard that I was going to do the race. She's also a sales rep for a pharmaceutical company. She gave me some cramp ease spray and cramp ease tablets and things that you can also use while training.
Mm-hmm.
And that day I took the cramp spray with me because it's small and I can fit it into my pocket just for in case.
Mm-hmm.
But the best thing for cramps is Rennies. Do you know what the Rennies are?
They're cough medicine, aren't they? Cough drops or something?
No, they are for heartburn. Heartburn tablets that you chew.
Of all things.
Of all things. The reason they work, they contain calcium and magnesium. And because it goes under your tongue, your body absorbs it much quicker and then it takes the cramps away.
It's the magnesium that does the trick, yeah.
Mm. Yes, yes. So this spray was also magnesium and calcium combinations. And that was the best ride I ever had. I was all alone. I drove there alone. I went to the starting point alone. I rode the whole race alone, almost 100 kilometers by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I finished alone, got my medal. I was so, so happy because I didn't feel tired. I didn't feel, but it was very hot. So at some points, mm-hmm. people would stand with their hose pipes next to their houses and they would spray you as you passed.
Mm-hmm.
And because that was such a good ride, there was just one part I hated, but we won't mention that. It was uphill. That's my nemesis.
Right, okay.
But I felt strong and I felt happy, and that was a big accomplishment because I got a sponsorship to do this. I did very well. So the race, like the pros would finish it in 2 hours, maybe just over 2 hours. The slower people would finish it at 6 or 7 hours. I finished it in 3 hours and 54 minutes. So I was very happy. I didn't finish last.
I'm listening here with absolute admiration. And I'm trying to filter out the key messages. And they are enjoyed what you do.
Yes.
Set yourself realistic goals.
Yes.
Pick yourself up when things are difficult.
Yes.
But I think that the biggest takeaway in all of this is that somewhere, someone will support you and
Yes.
help you,
Yes.
whether it's I mean, your mother driving behind you to make sure that you are safe. That's
Yes.
only half the story.
Yes.
It's the fact that she's rooting for you, she's supporting you,
Yes.
she wants you to achieve this.
Yes.
Not your father, but okay, he was working probably.
Yes, he was working, yes.
But your father had given you this idea, or this is something I want to do,
Yes.
and it is
And
your
he also did his part. I will tell you about that now.
just that. We're going to really overextend this one, but I don't care. But the dedication that comes with this from your mother, your teammates, the fact that they pushed you while you were cycling back
Yes.
the last, and so you're not alone in this. And I think that the important signal there is that you can come out of these situations either completely deflated,
Yes. And decide to never do it again. Or you feel more motivated, like, I
motivated.
want to go further. I want to be
Exactly.
faster.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then you have moments where you feel so in tune with your body and with your environment that it's
Yes.
almost like, this is too easy.
Yes.
Push me forward. You get professional sponsorship. You get professional products to help you do this.
Yes.
And I think that's the biggest takeaway, that somewhere people see what you are doing,
Yes.
and it is natural that they want to support you.
Yes.
And that is such an important message.
Yes.
Well, okay. So tell us about your father. You had a story.
Yes. So after that race, I decided that I want to achieve 100 kilometers. So 90, oh, it was 94.7 kilometers that race. I think I said 97. It was 94.
94 point,
94.7. It's a radio station, by
Yes,
the way.
we talked
Yes.
about that a couple of weeks.
Yes.
It's not Hot FM, is it? No, that's another
No,
one.
no, no, that's a different one.
So 94.7. I haven't listened
Yes.
to it yet.
That's okay. So, I decided I want to do 100 kilometers. So this race was in November. And then in February or March, somewhere around there, it was the Cape Argus in Cape Town. And this friend who took me on that wild 70-kilometer ride, I started training with her in the morning. So we would go out for a ride before we both had to start working. And Adrian would meet up with us, and it would be me and her, and we went training together. And then she went to the Cape Argus because she entered for that race with some other friends of hers. She knows a lot of people. And then as we were having coffee the one morning, I said to Adrian and Madeleine that I want to do 100 kilometers. So Adrian said, I will help you, because now he knows I did the 94.7. I didn't do too bad. And he knew that I was headstrong. I don't give up. So he went out of his way to plan a route for the two of us. And while she was doing the Cape Argus, that was also 100 and something kilometers, we were doing our 100 kilometer ride. So I met him at the circus. And from the circus coffee shop, we did a 50 kilometers. And we went back to the circus. We had lunch. We had a Fanta Orange. I still remember it. And then from there, we did the next 100 kilometers in a different part. So we didn't do the same route twice. We went to a different place, places I've never been to before. And the last 20 kilometers was tough because it's summer, it's February, it's hot. Like even the air you breathe is hot. So we stopped a couple of times, and then I asked him, how far is it to go back? So he said, no, we just need to do like 15 kilometers. So I said, let's do this. I want to get this over and done. I'm hot. I'm thirsty. I don't want to be in the sun anymore. Let's just do this. And from there, we pushed ourselves, not each other, just to make that last 15 kilometers and get back to the coffee shop. My car was there. After that, we sat down, we had ice cold beer. And I didn't want to eat anything. I just wanted to go home because I was so tired and hot and obviously sticky.
You're just basically uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable, yes. So had a nice ice cold beer, loaded my bike into my car. I didn't have a bike rack at the time, so it went into the car, took the wheels off, put it in my car, and then I went home. So at home, took a shower, took a nap. But I did it. I did the 100 kilometers with the help of Adrian. So he was there to do all of the planning, and we spoke to each other on WhatsApp, sending messages like he has a plan. Yes. So I did my first 100 kilometers. And then I think on that same day, I met a man called Roy. Now, Roy was 72 at the time. He's 76 or 77 now. And I realized that he lives just in the house behind us. So I have to go around the block to get to his house, but that's not even 1 kilometer. And then we exchanged numbers and I started training with him. And that old man, yeah, 72,
72 years old.
that old man was strong and fast. The first day he almost killed me. The second day we crashed into each other. The third day I couldn't ride because I was bruised. And then on that weekend, the Saturday, we saw each other again. We took a couple of days break, but he was fast, he was fit, he was strong, he was like motivating. And well, that's how I did most of the other races, with training with him, because we now it's not 7 or 8 kilometers every day. It turned into like 25 or 30. So we did longer rides in shorter times. We could do a 30 kilometers in the morning in less than 2 hours. So we would meet up at 5 o'clock in the morning, do our 30 kilometer ride, head back, and then both of us has to go to work. So finish for work, go to work. So you'll be on time at 9 o'clock when you start.
You still in contact with Roy?
No, we haven't seen or spoken to each other in a long time, but I know he's still cycling. Yes. That's where the part with my dad comes in. So with the docs, they plan a monthly ride to the Vaal Dam, and the route that they do from Alberton to the Vaal Dam is 106 kilometers. I said, well, I did 100 kilometers. Let's try this as well. So they would meet in Alberton. And then from there, we'd go all the way to Vaal Dam. And they organize a bus with a trailer and all kinds of things that you have to pay for to get back to Alberton. So you don't have to ride your bike back. But that morning, so Roy and myself, I think there was another person, met up at my house. My dad woke up early to take the three of us with our bikes to the spot where they met. So that's where my dad did his part, made sure that we got there on time. And then from there, we rode to the circus. At the circus was about the halfway mark, or less than halfway. But a lot of other people joined from there because they don't want to do the whole route. And then Adrian and Madeleine joined us from there. Tanya, Lulu, she was with us from Alberton. And then Adrian and Madeleine met us there, and we went all the way to Vaal Dam. It was difficult. But once again, I saw different places that I've never seen before because you don't stick to tar roads. We go on gravel roads and we go between the farms. So there's a lot of different places that you won't normally just see from the road, main roads. And when I got there, I was also very tired. But they also organize like a halfway stop where you have donuts and coke and sweets and banana bread and sometimes sandwiches, boiled potatoes, boiled eggs. You have a whole spread of things you can choose from to give you some energy. You can also fill up your water bottle with water. And from there, you go to the last point. And there they serve a lunch. Now, obviously, you pay a small fee. I think it was 50 rand at the time. And you get this big lunch, piece of meat with salads, and there's even pudding afterwards. You just have to pay for your own drinks, for
50
which,
rand, 50 rand, that equates to
yes.
2 euros 50, and you get
A decent meal, you get halfway snacks.
well, puts a
Very
lot of it
well
in.
organized. Yes. And then my mom came to fetch us. So Adrian, Madeleine, Roy, and myself, my mom came to fetch us. And we did it a couple of times. From there on, I promised myself I will do this every month. And then with the training with Roy and doing this, we decided let's do the 100 miler. So Roy and I decided to enter together. At first, we thought let's do a team, but then we had to get two more people, also one male, one female. And then we decided, okay, let's do this. We'll enter alone and then we'll see how far it goes. And that whole week before this race, it was raining.
Oh, God.
Yes. So the routes are obviously not on tar roads. It's off-road. It's all twists and turns and things through fields and around corners and dirt roads and gravel and all kinds of things. The Friday evening, they said, or they sent out a message to say that the race might be postponed to the next weekend, or it will start a little bit later, but they'll check the weather in the morning. So in the morning, we still woke up, packed, got our things ready. Roy and I drove there together. He came to pick, or he had my bicycle. He serviced my bicycle. Bless his heart. He didn't charge me anything for it. That's quite expensive. He serviced my bicycle, make sure everything was okay. And he loaded the bicycles and then he just came around to pick me up. And we drove to the circus where this 100 miler started. And we waited for, I think it was supposed to start at 6, but it only started at 7. So they had to extend it a little bit because of the rain. But they went through the course first, or through the track to see if everything was okay, if you can actually ride there without getting hurt or without falling or injuring yourself, which was actually very nice. And then we started. 20 kilometers into the race, I slipped and I fell. And I was so upset and so angry, but it was something ridiculous. My wheel, there was a rock in the middle of the path.
Mm.
It was wet and slippery, and I went around it. And when I went around it, the ground there was so mushy with everyone going through it that I actually slipped and I fell. So I hit my knee on a rock. It was bleeding a little bit. I took my water and just splashed it. I said, let's go. So now I'm annoyed. My socks were wet. I was wet. My knee hurt.
And I had to do
140 more kilometers.
And I remember reading somewhere, if there's something you hate, it's wet socks. Yeah.
Wet socks. That's the worst. That is the absolute worst, because it goes in your feet or in your shoes. So pushed through at the first water point. I got some jelly babies. I had a banana. I drank some Coke. And I thought, well, it's not that bad. I can do this. So that was about in the first. So we also did similar to what Adrian and I did, where we did the 50 and then the 50 again. From the circus, we did 80 back to the circus and then 80 close to where Adrian and I went around. So the first spot was about 40 kilometers where we had some water and some nice snacks and things. I got my bike sprayed off there as well, because it was covered in mud. And that can damage like your chains and your brakes and things. So they had a hose pipe there, like a pressure hose, spraying off all the dirt and mud, because now it was starting to heat up. The skies were clear and didn't expect any more rain. And then we did the last 40 kilometers back to the circus. At the circus, we had a quick lunch, like I think it was a boerewors roll or something.
Okay, right.
There was also some boiled potatoes, because it gives energy.
Yeah, very important, yes.
Yes, also some...
always have a potato there somewhere.
Yes. Some other snacks, like banana bread, that's also very good for energy. Bananas, apples, all kinds of things. And Roy said to me, do you really want to finish this? So I'm like, yes, let's do this. Because now I was feeling positive. Oh, I quickly stopped by the medic. He cleaned my knee properly and just stuck it closed. And then he said I should come back afterwards just to make sure that there's no dirt in there anymore. And then we did the next part. Now, Roy wanted to stop because there's a lot of people who stopped and they were having lunch and beer and didn't want to go any further.
Yeah.
So I said to him, well, I know the next part, so it's kind of flat. Let's just go for it. Let's do it. Let's push and see how far we get. So he asked me a couple of times, are you sure? I'm sure. I want to do this. I didn't enter this for nothing. I want to do this. Even if I finish last, I want to finish this. So he said, okay. And then we started. So from there, he went a bit in front of me. There were some parts of the route that I was behind, but I didn't know where we were going. And some places were quite new to me, a little bit dodgy. But then he waited for me at one of the stop signs. And then from there, we went together again. And then he was there with me the whole time through the last bit. And now it was hot and it was windy. The wind is the worst. Apart from uphills, wind, that's my second nemesis.
Wind coming against you, I suppose, not from behind. But
if it comes from the side, if it comes from the front, that's the worst. If it comes from behind, that's
brilliant.
Nice.
Brilliant, yeah.
Yes. So what Roy always would say is, if there's wind, the wind cools you off. So you have to take the wind as it comes. Okay. The wind is cooling me off, I kept on telling myself.
Okay.
And then from there, there was a couple of downhills. There was a path that we had to go through a cornfield. It was a bit uncomfortable because it was in some parts it was muddy, in other parts there was a lot of like erosion. So when you get stuck in this, you might fall. You have to stick to the side where you can ride. You have to avoid all of these kind of places. And then the last stop, I knew that we were very close to the circus. It was maybe 10 kilometers. And there was another water point, filled up the bottles, and they had bar one chocolate bars. Roy grabbed two, I grabbed two, but it looked like one. We stuck it in our pockets and we left. When we got to, when we went past it, I said, "Oh, I have a chocolate for you." And he said, "I took one too." So I took one for him and me, and he also. So now each of us had two chocolate bars. And then we passed a couple of people, and we made it back to the circus, and I was extremely happy because I finished this 160 kilometers. It was grueling. Bits and pieces of me I couldn't feel anymore. There were no feelings left, my bum especially. And my legs were burning a little bit because the last part we pushed, we used literally the last bit of energy we had to push through to the end. But we made it, and I felt very happy and excited, and I finished. I wasn't last. And then, as I was busy taking a picture, or Roy was busy taking a picture of me, a lady came and she said, "Congratulations." I said, "What are you talking about?" So I came second in my age category.
You didn't
So
even know it. You
I
weren't
didn't
aware of
even
it.
know it because it was so late. And I know we passed a couple of people, but I would have never guessed that I would be second in my category. So I got a voucher and my medal and the good memories. But I was quite surprised because I knew there's not a lot of women who takes part in these kind of things, but I knew in my age category there were a bit more than in other categories. So obviously there was the lady who was first, and then I came second, and then after me there were still people my age group, still women that hasn't finished. I was like, wow. That was amazing.
If the world needs a motivational speaker, they should contact you.
Wow.
So I'm just looking at the clock here. We started this conversation, and we spent 20 minutes off air. And I was sort of giving you the raw mindset that I found myself in, and
Yes.
was it wasn't positive by any means of the word. And now 1 hour and almost 40 minutes later, this has been such an inspiring conversation. Very one-sided. You did all the talking, but
Yes.
I don't care because I don't quite know what the lessons learned here are. I'm still processing it, but it's sort of, you want to condense it down into a handful of buzzwords or something that you can take away.
Yes.
But it's all about people, teamwork,
Yes.
not winning, but achieving. Yeah, and
Ach achieving something, yes.
having a sense of an achievement.
Yes.
And I think one of the big things that comes out of it, and especially in what you and I are doing, a lot of it that you did in the cycling is tangible, even if it's acute pain. I mean, you can't walk for the love of money because there's a Carlsberg beer advertisement that, it the beer stimulates bones you didn't know you had. And I think doing these cycling races, you were aware of body parts. Say, oh, do I have this as well? Yeah, because all of a
What's
sudden,
this?
hi, hi, it's me. So, having the team, setting yourself realistic goals, having a sense of achievement, celebrating those, and even if it's just
Yes.
a chocolate bar or a cold beer, yeah.
Yes.
And you, I mean, none of these achievements that you got are sort of amount to huge cash prizes
Yes.
or fantastic medals and parties. It was all very modest and
Yes.
down to earth. But you were recognized,
Yes.
for what you have done.
Yes.
It was either a thank you, but also people coming around and saying, hey, we want to help because somehow
Yes.
we want to help you. But there's a certain egotistical side. I can benefit from this because I just want to be with somebody who's successful, and I can
Yes.
sort of feel good and maybe learn something from them as well.
Yes.
Well, I certainly got my lesson today from you.
Never give up. Keep going.
Never give up, keep going. There's
Set
actually,
realistic goals.
when I was a kid in Australia, there used to be an American radio show that was broadcast on a local radio station called American Top 40. I still think it still exists in different formats, but the host of the show was a guy called Casey Kasem,
Yes.
and he would go through the top 40 songs, and then he always finished his show. It was about a 3-hour show. He always finished his show, and I'll never forget this. He says, "Keep your feet on the ground, but keep reaching for the stars."
Okay. Yes.
And that is, I think, something we can all benefit and learn from.
Yes.
I would love to continue.
There's more races, there's more things, but the
And I can hear, I can already hear the people saying, "Oh, it's such a long podcast." Well, yes, it is. But take the time to
Yes.
listen to it because it
Yes.
is, Janita, I really bow to you because
Thank you.
the stories that you have just shared with us are magical.
Yes.
And I can't say thank you enough. And I hope that there will be people who take the time and maybe just listen to this in stages. You don't have to listen to it all, but
Yes.
it's difficult
Yeah.
to switch off. But just to sort of listen to this in stages, and just take away what there is to take away. I,
Yes.
for me, when I look at how I was at 10 o'clock this morning, it's now 11:45. You've made my day, and I'm going to be very honest about this. We're working together. We're building
Yes.
this community. There are good days. There are bad days.
Yes.
Today wasn't a particularly good morning, but you've changed that. And
It
that.
was just a small uphill with a little bit of headwind.
There you go. That's really put me in my place, and I'm looking at, and I'm looking at my side of the screen, and so I'm sort of, in this white phase here. The lighting is difficult. I'm thinking, God, he should have done this properly. But I don't care because
Yes.
you are in the focus. Your story is in the focus, and that's all that matters.
Thank you.
We have our jingle to finish off.
Just the two of
Two of
us.
us.
We can make
Just the
it
two of us. Right.
if
Janita, thank you. I'm going to press the
A
stop
pleasure.
button. I think you've spoken enough.
Pleasure.
You don't need to have the last word.
I need more coffee
You need more coffee.
or water.
I'm going to stop recording. It was
Okay.
fantastic.
Thank you so much for
To
listening
be
to my stories.
continued.
Yes.
See you next week.
See you next
Bye.
week. Bye.
Bye.